You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The numbers are in and they point to a lot of disagreement with the Auckland City Council's proposed budget. For city councilling this week, I spoke with Manukau's councillor Lotu Fully. Councillor Fully spoke in detail about the Auckland City Council's budget and the process of budget submissions from the public. She also mentioned the problems with selling the council's shares in the airport. I started by asking Councillor Fully what the numbers from the public submissions mean, with only 26% supporting full cuts and 54% supporting some of the cuts.
I think what it says is that overwhelmingly Aucklanders, one, wanted to comment because, like we've said previously, we don't usually get a big engagement from our people when it comes to local government. But this time around, we've seen huge record number of people submitting. And that is because, you know, we're talking about things that really, really touch the hearts of and minds of our community. And so they've sent a really strong message that most Aucklanders, yeah, they understand that, of course, we've been through COVID and we do need to make some cuts, but the majority of Aucklanders don't agree with all of the cuts that were proposed by His Worship, and especially the cuts to art, to culture, and to community groups and our local board.
And yeah, and one of these other areas that is contentious and people are talking about is the cuts to, or whether the council should sell their shares to the Auckland Airport. Some people, data suggesting that Aucklanders want the council to sell some of its shares. Is this a good idea or is this not a good idea?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because I know His Worship released a media release yesterday, and the way that he's interpreted the stats is a little bit different to how I would interpret the stats, because actually the largest number of respondents chose the option of not selling any of the airport shares. So 34% said that they didn't support selling any of the airport shares. Then the second largest number supported selling some of the shares. So selling only 8%, which would retain a 10% blocking share. But to me, what that says is that the majority of Aucklanders who responded want us to retain all of our airport shares or most of our airport shares. And that's the opposite of the way that His Worship has packaged it. You know, he's come out saying that 53% of Aucklanders want to sell all or some of the shares. But the way I've read the stats is, because the largest number actually supported no sale, is that 62% of Aucklanders want us to retain all or most of the shares. Because I think it's important to note that that second largest option, 28% that chose partial sale, they chose to retain 10% out of our 18% share, and that's because partly because of that idea of having a blocking share. And so to me, that sends a message that actually the majority of Aucklanders who responded want to retain all or most of our share. So a little bit different to the way it's been interpreted by His Worship.
And is this a problem with some of this data that's coming out, is that you can use the numbers to sort of support your point of view no matter which side of the debate you stand on? And what is the councillor's job then in this situation with these numbers? Can you then go back to the mayor and others that are wanting to sell it and to use these numbers to suggest that Aucklanders want to sell it? How do you navigate this around the council table?
Yeah, it's really difficult, and you're totally right. You know, anyone of us, and I know a lot of your listeners will be research students, will be, you know, PhD students, and they'll know that when you're dealing with statistics, you can interpret them in many different ways in order to support your thesis or support your argument, right? You know, I'm guilty of doing that too. So what we as counsellors have to do, though, is try to look at the simple data that we got, look at the raw data, and try to understand some of those comments. I think will be more helpful as to looking at what Aucklanders, not just what they ticked in terms of the boxes, but also the comments that they made alongside those, to get a better idea of the feeling and the thinking of what Aucklanders want. And also looking at the demographic breakdown is really important too, because we can see then what our most vulnerable areas are thinking and feeling, and what those who are perhaps more privileged and affluent are thinking and feeling. And at the end of the day, we've got to weigh all of that up and then make decisions and consider, well, what is it really that will benefit Aucklanders, not just today, but also for the future?
And another interesting thing to come out this morning is reports around filling the budget hole, and I believe there's also some comments around negative comments around borrowing money and things like this. Is it a matter of borrowing more money or not borrowing money, or is it a little bit more complex than that?
It's a little bit more complex, but, you know, before we got the feedback, there was a strong narrative coming through from staff and from His Worship and other councillors that Aucklanders didn't support rates rises, that Aucklanders didn't support us borrowing more money, that was a negative thing. But actually the feedback has been the opposite of that. What the feedback has shown is that the majority of Aucklanders, and even the very simple raw data, raw stats, without any interpretation being put on it, that's what surprised, I think, His Worship and some councillors and staff, is that the majority of Aucklanders have actually said, actually, we would be okay with paying a little bit more in our rates and with you borrowing a little bit more, because we understand that council has got a lot of headroom and can borrow a little bit more than what's been proposed in order for us to keep our arts programs, to keep our funding for our community hall, to keep our library hours, to keep our pool staff, to keep our local boards with their community grant. So that actually is the big message that we've heard from the feedback from our communities.
And yeah, I suppose I'd be interested now to hear about what stage we're in. So people have submitted their opinions, the data has come back. So what's next for you and the other councillors in this process?
Yeah, so yesterday we had our first workshop. We've got another 10 or so. It's quite a long process that we're going through. We're going to consider each of the questions that were put out to the community. Our staff, will come back and give us advice on all of those things. Our legal team as well will give us advice on everything. And then right at the end in June, we will have to vote on the final budget. So I think the budget that was proposed by the mayor will change in many different ways before we get to that June meeting. I'm pretty sure that that's what will happen. And you might have seen in the media that some journalists were calling it horse trading. And I guess that will go on as well in the background. Outside of those workshops, there will be councillors talking to the mayor, talking to staff and proposing different things along the way. But in June, we have to make a decision. We have to balance the budget by law, because if we don't, then, that's a real issue for the biggest city in this country, and the commissioners could step in. But I really don't see that happening. It's never happened in the past. And I do think that we will get to a balanced budget, but how that will look, we don't know. And certainly nothing has been determined at this stage. It's still very early in the process.
That was City Councillor Lotu Fuli on budget submissions.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.